Hey everybody, it's Mike. Welcome or welcome back to the Revision Church Podcast. While you're here, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Revision app, which is actually the best way to get access to new content and share it with friends. You can get the app by texting Revision app to 77977. Thanks for listening today. My hope is that this message will be helpful for you and would inspire you to take the next step on your faith journey. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors at Revision. I'm excited to be here today. How about you? All right. So we're going to kick things off with a group confession session. It's going to get real in here. Hold on to your hats. Everybody, please raise your hand if you have a drawer in your house that looks kind of like this. And that's a lot of us, but we got good company. 88% of American households have a junk drawer, and it's always fun whenever I open up ours looking for something. It's like a little box of surprises. It makes me think, I didn't know we had a koosh ball, but I'm glad we keep it next to the rubber bands and dead batteries. And also, I'm thankful that we have an old mini calculator in case all of our phones simultaneously die right when we need to do math. It's a little bit ridiculous, but for most of us, we try and keep all that junk confined to one drawer, because if our whole houses looked like that, the chaos would be a little bit overwhelming, right? Here's the deal, though. When it comes to our calendars, to our crazy jam-packed schedules, I think they look a lot more like that than we care to admit. There's a little bit of everything thrown in, and there's almost no empty space. We're in the middle of this series called The Elephant in the Family Room, and we're diving into some topics that we probably need to discuss, but we often avoid. And I think our current pace of life and level of busyness is one of them. Like, the most common answer to the question, how are you guys doing, that I get these days is, oh, we're so busy. You guys, being stressed out, anxious, and overscheduled is normal now, and that blows my mind. It's crazy to me that we just accept that, because busyness is one of the most powerful enemies of our souls and our futures that we will ever encounter. It's hazardous to our health, our productivity, our relationships, and a whole lot more. We were not meant to feel ground up by the grind. But we're so used to it that often we don't ever stop to have the conversation or even think about what sort of changes might need to be made. We just keep adding things to our already crammed calendars, and then our pace of life starts speeding up and speeding up and speeding up personally and societally. Everything in our world is fast these days, even food. Some of us are old enough to remember in the 90s when Domino's changed the game, because you didn't even have to go to a fast food joint to get food fast anymore. They'd bring it to you. They made this huge ad campaign that said, when you order a pizza, it will be at your door in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. And that revolutionized food delivery. It was such a cultural phenomenon that they recently made a documentary about it, and I caught a little bit of it, and the Domino's CEO said, we don't sell pizza, we sell delivery. And I'd like to say, from my perspective, it tasted like he meant that. Like in the 90s, Domino's got there fast, and that's about what you could say for it. But it's real, we just like things fast, and it was so nuts how many people caught on to the Domino's thing that a hospital in Detroit was like, that seems like successful marketing, we're going to jump in. And so they made a guarantee that if you showed up in their ER, you would see a doctor within 20 minutes or your treatment was free. Within a month, business went up 20% at that hospital. The mortality rate went up 94%, but no one cared. They're like, at least I didn't have to wait in line, I would rather be dead. Like, that's the way that we think culturally, and we don't do anything about it. We just keep adding and adding and adding and speeding up. And sometimes I think it might be healthy for us to pause to consider whether the pace we're running at is robbing us of the lives we're dreaming of. Because it's not going to be helpful to just keep hoping tomorrow is going to be 28 hours long. That's not going to solve the issue for us, but it's a struggle. And to gauge where we're all at with that, I have a little quiz for you this week. We did one last week about your technology usage, and it was fun, so I got another one for you about your busyness. If you answer yes to any of the following questions, give yourself 1 point, all right? If you sent a text, put on makeup, watched a YouTube video, or ate breakfast while driving to church this morning, 1 point. I feel like there's too many people in here who have a point. No one should, but some of you do. Second one, if every time you pull up to a red light, you're doing some calculations in your brain, not just of how many cars there are, but of the type of cars. If you're like, there's five in this lane, three in that lane, but that's a Buick. 84% chance it's an old lady. 93% chance she goes below the speed limit. So I'm like, if you're doing a math calculation to pick the best lane at every red light, 1 point for you. If you've ever been in a grocery store in the 10 items or less lane and counted the items the person ahead of you had because you thought it looked like 11 or 12 and you wanted to know if you should be mad, 1 point. All right, bonus point. If in the days before self-checkout, which is one of the greatest inventions that's ever happened in human history, but if in the days before self-checkout, you could feel your stress level measurably rising when you picked the wrong lane at a grocery store and someone else was checking out faster. Like if you ever had a moment in Hy-Vee where you cried out, God, why don't you care about me? What is happening right now? If you've had a crisis of faith in a grocery store checkout line, 1 point for you. Changing gears, give yourself a point if you answer no to the following questions. Do you average 7.5 hours of sleep per night? On Mondays through Fridays, are you generally more joyful than you are irritable? Don't elbow the person next to you on this one. This is about you and God. It's not time to throw bows like Dusty Rhodes in church. It's not how we do it at Revision, usually. Last but not least, are you making time regularly to pray and read your Bible? Do you do that most days? All right, add them up. If you land somewhere in the 3 to 7 scale, you're not alone, but you might be headed for a breakdown. In your life, in your work, in your family, in your faith. Like, I was reading this week, rereading a chapter of a book by a guy named Byung-Chul Han. He's a Korean-Swiss-German philosopher. I don't know, probably a lot of you woke up this morning, like, you know what I need more of in my life is Korean-Swiss-German philosophy, but oh, I don't know where I'm going to get it. Ha-ha! It's your lucky day. I got your back, you guys. But Byung-Chul Han wrote this fascinating book called The Burnout Society. He spent a number of years studying anxiety, stress, and burnout, and he eventually came to the conclusion that what he termed the Leistungsgesellschaft was mentally toxic for human beings. And that's one of those German words where they smash it together and it doesn't really translate, but roughly it means performance-based society. He said, living in the middle of a performance-based society is psychologically devastating for us because what we begin to do is see everything and everyone around us as a competition and an opportunity to advance. And so we cram our calendars beyond their breaking point because if we're going to win and we're going to keep climbing the ladder and if our kids are going to win and our kids are going to keep climbing the ladder, we have to keep doing more. More is an opportunity for victory. And as he sat back and looked at the fact they were the most overscheduled people in the history of the world and that every minute that isn't taken up by doing things is now taken up by technology, which keeps our brains turned on, Byung-Chul Han made this observation about most people living in the Western world today. They are too alive to die and too dead to live. I don't know if you've ever felt like that before. But I have. And what I want to tell you this morning, or what I want to point out this morning, is that feeling is never going to get better unless or until we have that elephant in the family room conversation about the things that are on our calendars and how we can create margin for the stuff that matters most. And by margin, what I mean is the gap between the load you're carrying and the limit you can carry. It's the amount of energy or time or money you have available beyond what you need. Simply put, margin is the difference between what you have and what you need. If you have to be somewhere in 30 minutes and it's a 20-minute drive, you have 10 minutes of margin. If something costs $30 and you have $20, you have $10 of margin. It's the gap between what you've got and what you need. But when there is no gap, when we add to our calendars to the point that our load begins to outweigh our limits and we have less than what we need, it's toxic to our families, to our relationships, to our friendships, to our futures, and a whole lot more. And Jesus has something to say about that. So if you have a Bible or a Bible handy, you can crack it open to the book of Luke chapter 10. If you don't have one, you can follow along on the screen. And if you need a Bible, they're free back in the Next Steps area. We love it when they disappear. But in Luke 10, starting in verse 38, we read about the story of Jesus going to visit some friends, specifically these two sisters named Martha and Mary. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I'm going to press pause right here. Jesus himself literally came to hang out at her house, and Martha got distracted by stuff, by tasks, by all the things she felt like she needed to do in order for it to be okay for her to be hosting Jesus. She got caught up in the tyranny of the urgent, and I so relate to her. Anybody else? There are very real things that pop up in our lives and our work that feel like they've got to be accomplished right away. And sometimes they do. Sometimes we just got to get them done. But sometimes they don't need to be fixed immediately. Sometimes they don't require any of our energy at all. Sometimes they are nothing more than distractions. It's difficult, though, when they feel urgent. When a task pops up late on a Friday at work, you're like, I got to get this done right now, or it's going to be hanging over my head all weekend. When your kid wants to join an extracurricular activity that your schedule will not allow for, but they need an answer by the end of the week. When you're hanging out with friends or spending time with your kids and an email pops up on your phone. It's so hard to zoom out in those moments and focus and even think about what matters most in the long term because the distractions are right in front of our faces and there's something inside us as human beings that feels compelled to deal with them because they're right there. But at some point, it's worth asking the question, is it worth missing out on the things and the people who truly matter most? Because there are so many urgent things to do. I think often we reach this point where we don't ask that question, and we keep adding urgent things, and then we actually do miss out on what matters most. It's kind of like this. Imagine that this barbell is your life, and the 45-pound weights are the basic tasks that you have in any given day. If you're a student, it's going to school and doing your homework. If you're a parent, it's raising your kids. If you have a job, it's going to work. For all of us, it's cleaning our houses and cooking dinner and all that stuff. And it's a lot, but we're built for it. And so in any given day, you wake up and you're like, all right, this is what I got to do. And we handle it because we're built for it. And then some days we're more tired than we are on other days. And we're like, oh, today is a lot. But we can do it because it's the stuff God's given us to do. And it's good. And it's important in a message like this to point out that it is good because I think sometimes we can swing the pendulum too far in the other direction. And there's a whole movement in our society that says work is bad and rest is good. Work is a necessary evil, but it's just evil. And what we should do is get rid of all the weight and just rest our lives away. And I promise you, if you do nothing, your soul will atrophy. Because part of what it means to be made in the image of God is to do meaningful things that add value to the world and the people around you. We're built to do. And it looks different for every single one of us based on our life stage and our health situation where we're at, but we're built to do meaningful things. We're just not built to do too much. And that's where the problem comes in. Because what happens is we have life and tasks, and they're good, and we can handle them, but then other stuff pops up. Your boss sends you an email like, well, I know this really isn't your job, but I need a graphic ASAP for this new marketing campaign. Could you handle it? And you're like, well, I really want my boss to like me, so yeah, I'll do that. And then your kid gets invited to the traveling basketball team, and you absolutely don't have margin for it, but it's only a few $1,000, and it's two more nights a week, and all right, fine. We're going to say yes to that. I don't want my kid to miss out. Only 10 kids got invited. And then you get invited to speak at a conference, but it's the same weekend your daughter's in the school play, and your son has a track meet, but you think to yourself, I could drive through the night and make it happen. And so you take the speaking gig. And then your neighbor shows up at your door and he's like, hey, could you watch my dog for a month while I go on a cruise? And you're trying to be a good neighbor. So you're like, yeah, I'll do that. And your sister shows up and is like, hey, is there any way you could babysit my kids for a few days while we go out of town? And you're like, I already got two extra dogs. What's three kids going to matter? And then you find a new show on Netflix and you're like, you know what? I should just watch one episode. But you never watch one episode. And you stay up too late one night and you just binge it. And then you do it again the next night. And you're like, well, what's one more night? And then you're like, I almost finished the whole season. And then, and we just keep adding and adding and adding and adding and adding. And then we end up in this spot where we wake up one morning and we're like, okay, it's just the morning. Oh, no. And then we wonder, like, why did life get so heavy? I used to be able to handle this. When did this occur? How did this happen to me? And the answer is, it happened bit by bit. It happened 5 pounds at a time, and 1 pound at a time, and a little bit at a time. And all of a sudden, we're suffocated because we can't handle the weight anymore. I realize lifting that destroys my illustration, but I'm trying to make a point, not die at church on a Sunday. If I actually suffocated, I couldn't have brought those back to the bar performance gym. Jeremy Smith would have been like, this is the dead guy weights. I can't even use this anymore. So, like, here's the thing. Bit by bit, little by little, weight by weight by weight by weight by weight, we keep adding. And every urgent thing that comes up adds up. And we almost never take anything back off the bar. And eventually we find ourselves overscheduled with zero margin and we begin to suffocate. And do you know what happens every single time? You miss out on the chance to sit at the feet of Jesus because your distractions keep you from it. You guys, I think our current pace of life for most of us is stealing a little bit of our humanity as it robs us of the opportunity to connect deeply with a creator who created us for the purpose of that connection. It's interesting, there's a professor at Charleston Southern University named Michael Zigarelli. He surveyed over 20,000 Christians and he put forth this hypothesis. It may be the case that Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular pagan assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, and the cycle begins again. Let's face it, if God only has a few minutes a day in your schedule, if he even gets that much, and most of that time is spent giving him his task list, that just isn't a lot of margin for him to speak meaningfully into your soul and do something big for you. So, here's the deal, and it may not be comfortable to hear. Many of us are doing life completely contrary to the way God designed us to do it, and it shows. It shows in your lack of energy. It shows in your lack of patience. It shows in your lack of joy. It shows in the lack of fire that exists in your relationship with God. It shows. But busyness is life in 21st century America, right? Our culture worships it like we should wear being busy around like a badge of honor, but it's probably worth stopping to ask the question, am I really living? And am I really making time for the stuff that will matter to me in the end? Like, I wonder, as you look at your current season of life and your current pace of life, what's the most important thing you're distracted from? Your spouse, your kids, your work, your faith? Like, distractions are dangerous to your future. Philosopher Blaise Pascal once noted, busyness sends more people to hell than unbelief. And yet it's easy to lean into it and justify it. I know for so many of us in the room right now, there are a bunch of excuses rolling around in our heads. There's excuses in mine too. Well, in my life, it's okay. Like, in this current season, it's just the way things have to be. And I'm not like making bad choices. I have to do this because I'm important and it matters. And I know that I don't have as much time for God as I'd like to, but when things slow down, that'll change. And it's just, this is the right decision. There's nothing I could take off my calendar. I just have to keep adding stuff, and I am correct in making this decision. And do you know who else felt like that? Martha, when Jesus came to visit. She was absolutely certain that she was right to be running around like a chicken with her head cut off, and Mary was wrong to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we know that she was certain of that because of what she said. She got distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and then she walked over to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work on my own? Tell her to help me." First of all, she's being a tattletale. Second of all, that's a little bit self-righteous. And third of all, she's telling Jesus what to do, which I don't know if you should do that. I don't know if it's a good idea to tell the creator of the universe how he ought to be behaving. But Martha's so convinced of the manifest rightness of the path she's chosen that she's like, "I should inform Jesus of how he ought to be right now." And Jesus responds to her. He looks at her and goes, "Martha, Martha." And in our world, I think sometimes we think she's in trouble because of that. Like when my name got repeated by my mom, it was not good. But in Hebrew culture, it was a way of expressing love. So he's saying, I'm gonna speak a harsh truth to you, but I love you so deeply that I'm speaking it for your good. And what Jesus said is, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And I think what Jesus does in this little simple interaction is breaks down our culture of busyness by replacing three things. He replaces a myth with the truth. He replaces fear with peace. And he replaces an old habit with a new vision. So first things first, this myth that Jesus replaces in the life of Martha is one our culture has bought into hook, line, and sinker. It's that busyness equals faithfulness. Sometimes we put busyness on such a pedestal that we think, man, if I'm busy, I'm doing stuff that matters. And there's almost this societal disease and sickness that lives in us, and we like it. Because it shows everyone around me that I'm important, and it even shows God that I'm important, right? We burn ourselves out and then come to God like that's what he's looking for. Like, "Hey, I'm my own burnt offering." And I do this exact same thing. It's just so easy to get caught up believing if I'm not going, then somehow I'm being unfaithful to God. I remember a few years ago, I said yes to officiating a wedding, speaking at a weekend conference at a camp that was like 90 minutes away from here, and substitute coaching my twins' flag football team, all in the same weekend. Right, so Friday night, I did a rehearsal. I drove up to this camp and I spoke. Saturday morning, I woke up, I spoke, I sped back to Des Moines, coached some flag football, changed outfits, did a wedding, then sped a little bit more speedily back to the camp, spoke again. Sunday morning, I woke up, spoke one last time, then drove home to do some parenting. That was one of the dumbest decisions of my life. Do you know how long it took me to recover? I was fried for a while. It wasn't like Monday I woke up like, "Whoa, what a crazy weekend. I'm ready to go." No. But busyness equals faithfulness, right? Wrong. Part of what Jesus is trying to tell us in Luke 10 is that busyness does not equal faithfulness. Sometimes it just equals busyness. Faithfulness looks like doing the best we can with whatever God's put on our plate. But busyness for the sake of busyness is soul-destroying for human beings. Because I think God's shouting to us in the middle of our chaos and the frenzy of our lives, "I built you for something better than busyness. You're made for more than burnout." All right, so sometimes we overschedule ourselves. We add too many weights to the bar because we like doing things that make us feel important and that look and seem important to the people around us. But you know what else causes us to do that? Fear. Fear causes us to cram our calendars beyond their breaking point. That's what it was for Mary. In verse 41, it says she was anxious. She was scared. She was worried. Like, "Oh my goodness, all these people are here. What are they going to think of my house? God is coming to visit. I cannot have dust on the TV stand. I can't have toothpaste in the sink. I can't have urine sprinkled all over the seat and then a little on the floor and sometimes even on the walls because three little boys live at my house." Hypothetically. I don't know anything about that in my house. Just that's what I think happened for Mary. But sometimes, really, you look at the wall and you're like... Anyway, She's also worried about dinner. She's like, I got to cook a meal for all of these people. I can't just order Domino's even if it would be here in 30 minutes. Like, what in the world am I going to do? And she's stressed out and she's afraid. And so she's going and going and going and going and going. In the middle of that, Jesus says, hey, press pause. But I think in the middle of our going and going and going and going, Jesus is saying the same thing, but we don't listen because we have this fear-based motivation to keep achieving. We're like, I got to prove myself to my dad, to my boss, to my spouse, to my ex-girlfriend, to myself. And what if everyone doesn't recognize how great I am? Or what if I don't do this task? I'm the only one who can do it. I'm a special, unique, unicorn person. And if I don't do it, it will never, ever get done. Or will that person still like me if I say no? Or what if I don't reach the same level of the corporate ladder as my neighbors are reaching and my friends are reaching? What if they have more than me? What if they make more than me? What if my kid doesn't make that team and they miss out? And then they're not going to be able to win enough for me to feel good about myself. Just kidding, that's totally not why I'm doing any of the stuff for my kids. It's not about me. I'm just worried that if they don't get that scholarship, then they'll never go to college and they're gonna end up 35 years old on a steady diet of government cheese, living in a van down by the river. That's why. We can't be having that. So you guys, we just run around like crazy, and it's killing us because we're worried that we're gonna miss out if we say no to anything. But what if there's a better way? You know what the cause is of doing that? You know what the inspiration is behind the fear, the root of it? Idolatry. It's idolatry. We make an idol out of success, our success, and our kids' success. And I don't care what idol you're chasing in this universe, idols always inspire fear in the human soul. That's how idols work. And the idolatry of success demands a fear-based busyness out of us, but God operates in an entirely different way. He looks at Mary in the middle of her stress and he says, sit with me. It's not that the tasks aren't important. It's not that they don't need to be done, but when you're doing them out of fear, they're sucking the life out of you. Come get filled up with my presence so you can do them in a completely different way. He fills her up with peace. And you guys, I just think in this anxious world, our fears are shattered by the peace of Jesus' presence. Because that peace allows us to think differently. It allows us to work differently and accomplish things differently because we're not running on fumes because we've been running on fear. Instead, we're running on love because we know that we are cared for and we are accepted no matter what we do. Like, this is the thing that changed the game for Martha, right? She's going and she's worried, like, hey, I gotta make this big old meal. And Jesus is like, I care about you no matter what you do. You do not have to earn it. You don't have to achieve to be loved and to matter. And that revolutionizes her world. She realizes it's not about me making enough food to feed everyone. Jesus loves me anyway. And let's be honest, like, worrying about feeding everyone was a weird worry for her to have, right? Because the dude sitting in her living room once took a kid's lunchbox and fed a whole field full of people. You know who wasn't worried about dinner? Jesus. Jesus wasn't worried about dinner. And so what he says is, hey, come experience the peace of my presence so that you know you don't have to earn your keep with me. I love you. So he shattered this myth in her life that busyness equals faithfulness. And he replaced her fear with the peace of his presence. And then he cast for her this new vision. I don't think it's a new vision he has for us too that destroys our old habit of living hurried lives. He says, you're worried about a lot of things, but only one thing's needed. It's the best thing. Sit with me. Because I think for us, it's so easy to get caught up in the many good things of life that we don't have any margin for the best thing in life. I know it is in my life to say yes to so many good things that I got no room for the best things and no room to be the best version of myself for the people I care about most. It's so easy to push the best thing into the margins. Because if we're honest, right? When our schedules get crammed too full, the two things that we're least likely to make time for are rest and connection with God. But what Jesus is trying to tell us here is there is one thing that's the best thing. It's not the only thing, but it's the only thing that can fill you up and allow you to live into your creative purpose, and it's time with me. And it's fascinating as you look at the life of Jesus. In his busiest seasons, he always made sure to carve out margin for two things, rest and time with God. Like, he went pretty hard for a long time. He did miracles. He taught crowds. He healed the sick. He spent time with friends. He hung out with broken people. And then he went away and he rested and he prayed because he knew we are weaker and less able to handle the load when we don't do the two things through which God most significantly gives us strength, rest and connect with him. Like, the reality of the human condition is that we become what we give our attention to. The things we focus our thoughts on and spend our time on determine who we become. Our thoughts, our actions, our calendars, they shape us, and it's impossible to live a Jesus-shaped life if we're not making sure to spend time with Jesus. We can't be who we were made to be unless we're giving our thoughts to our Maker, and that's why Jesus challenged Martha to destroy the habit of busyness by prioritizing time with him. I think he's got the same challenge for us, but it's going to require saying no to some good things so that we can say yes to the best thing. It's going to probably demand a difficult and even painful discussion of what has to come off the bar for us to be able to manage it, right? There are weights that are on your bar that got to go. If you don't now have time for rest and time for God, you got to take some stuff off, even if you don't want to take that stuff off. But I promise if you're willing to do it, it'll be good. You'll find the life your soul is longing for when you make time to connect with Jesus. And no matter what you achieve and no matter what you add to your schedule, you will never find that life outside of that connection, despite what our culture tells you. So I got a challenge for you this week. In the name of avoiding the burnout that's sucking the life out of so many people around us, and in the name of connecting more deeply with God, because I just think in our society, it's so easy to miss him. It's so easy to get distracted. C.S. Lewis once said, if you would like to avoid God, avoid silence, avoid solitude, avoid any thoughts that take you off the beaten path, make sure the radio is always on, live among the crowd, look for distractions, use plenty of sedatives. But I don't want us to avoid God anymore. And so here's my challenge. It's 10 minutes broken up into five parts. I dare every single one of you, every day this week, to spend 5 minutes doing absolutely nothing. Zero. Accomplish literally no tasks for 5 minutes. Just sit there in silence and solitude. No screens, no distractions, nothing else going on. Sit and rest. Be still and know that he is God. And listen, in case he might have something to say to you. And here's my bet. If you've never done this before, if just sitting in silence and solitude isn't a part of your regular practice, you will find 5 minutes to feel incredibly long. And your mind's going to want to start racing and making task lists. And you're going to see things you could clean. And be like, I could at least walk over there and pick that up. Just don't do it. Sit and rest in the knowledge that he is in control and you are loved unconditionally. And there's not a thing in this world you have to do to earn it. Sit for 5 minutes and then spend the next 5 minutes connecting with the heart of God by pouring out to him whatever's on your heart. Anything and everything. And maybe this week that needs to be a real specific prayer about what weights need to come off your bar so that you don't end up completely crushed like so many of the people around us. 10 minutes a day. Try it for a week and see what happens, because I think if you don't, like if you won't do this. And listen, I've been doing this gig long enough to know a lot of you won't do this. Like, what I'm saying about your pace wearing you down is resonating deeply, but you're in such a level of denial about the idolatry of success having its hooks deep in you that you won't try this. You will burn out before you ever have the elephant in the family room conversation about what's got to come off your calendar. And you'll get to the end of your life, and truly all of us who won't prioritize these two things, we'll get to the end of our lives undoubtedly with a whole lot of regrets about the things and the people we missed while we were exhausted but running full speed ahead, too alive to die. but too dead to truly live. But I think if we'll prioritize this, if we will fight to carve out margin to rest and connect with Jesus, what we'll find at the end is that we crammed a whole lot of living into the lives we were given. You guys pray with me? God, help us. Help us. Save us from ourselves. Save us from this cultural sickness of busyness that is crushing so many of our souls and lives, that's keeping us from prioritizing the best thing and the best things, from being the best version of ourselves for you and for the people who matter. And thank you. Thank you that in the middle of the Leistungsgesellschaft, the performance-based society that's toxic to our mental health, you replace that performance-based need to impress with unconditional love. Thank you for allowing us to sit in the peace of your presence, because we don't got to earn one bit with you. Help us remember that as we walk back out into our busy lives and our busy world. And help us decide what stuff has to come off the bar so that we stop missing out on the rest and the time with you that helps us cram the biggest amount of living into the lives we've been given. Thank you. Above all else, just thank you for loving us unconditionally, despite all our fears and our faults and our failures and our busyness and our distractions. This week, Lord, would you help us see you and know you more deeply so that we can live more fully. Amen.